Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches, and we are about 30 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis Umi Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sar Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Refolkas Ben Fega, Baruch Ben Rachel, Chaya Malka Bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel Bas Rachel Shendel, Meira Chava Basha Shana and Esther Kreindel Bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas David Tzvi Ben Mordechai and Le'ilui Nishmas Rezel Bas Reb Moshe. So the Gemara on the top of the Amid mentioned a memra in the name of the great Shmuel. Amash Shmuel, Mutter La'ares Isha B'choylo Shal Moed. It's Mutter for a man to be Mekadesh in Isha on Chol HaMoed. And Shmuel gave a reason, Shema Yikad Mena Acher, because we're concerned that if this person knows who he wants to marry, she's agreeable to marry him, if he's going to wait and not do it immediately, there's always a possibility that someone's going to come and chap this zivug as a concern of Shema Yikad Mena Acher, says Shmuel, even though there may have been a Havamina that you shouldn't be able to be Mekadesh and Isha on Chol HaMoed, the halacha is that you're allowed to. So we pick up on that note. Says the Gemara, Mira Mashmul Ha, Hashem Yikad Menu Achar. Could Shmuel have possibly said that? That you're allowed to get married. It's Mutter La'ari Sishan Cholomoid, Shem Yikad Menu Achar, for Amar Rav Yudah Mashmul. Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel. It's the same Shmuel. B'chol Yoim V'yoim, Baskol Yoitzes V'yoim Meres. A well-known Gemara. Every single day there's a Baskol that emanates from the heavens and says, quote, Bas Ployni L'Ployni, Sada Ployni L'Ployni. Bas Ployni is going to end up marrying Ployni, Sada Ployni is going to end up belonging to Ployni. What do you see? Who a person's going to marry is predetermined. It's something that is mentioned in a Baskol every single day. Now, the truth is that this version of the Baskol that's quoted right here in our Gemara is mentioned a little bit differently in Masechta Soita Daf Beis Amar Aleph. Over there, the Gemara says that this Baskol comes out Arbam Yoim Koidim Yetziras Havlad, that it's 40 days before Yetziras Havlad, there's already a Baskol that says Bas Ployni L'Ployni. But what's the point? The point is that who a person's going to marry is predetermined. So there's no Shema Yikad Menu Achar. It's what we know as the Bashert. So what do you mean? Mutal Aris Isha B'choyloi Shomoyet Shema Yikad Menu Achar? It's impossible, because if this is your Bashert, you're going to marry her. And if it's somebody else's Bashert, then that somebody else is going to marry her. But there's no such thing that somebody else can go chap your Bashert, says the Gemara. So what then did Shmuel mean? What he meant to say was, Shema yikadmenu achar berachamim. Meaning, it's true that who a person is supposed to marry is Bashert. And if Reuven is supposed to marry Rachel, Reuven's going to marry Rachel. Shimon can't come and be the one that marries Rachel. But at the same time, you know what could happen? What could happen is, through tefillah, everything could get thrown off its axis. And the Gemara demonstrates its point with the story. There was a Maisa Shahoya, Kach Hoya with Rav. Shambalahu Gavra, he heard a certain person, the boy Rachmi, he was davening. V'amar, and he said, Tis daming li pnut nisa. So this person was davening for a shidduch. But he wasn't just davening for a shidduch, he was davening for a very specific shidduch. So he's davening to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, please, I want to marry ploy nisa. I want to marry a certain woman. Amalei. So Rav heard this person davening, and he said, Loiti boy Rachmi Hachi, it's an inappropriate way to daven. Why? He said, because Mamanovshach, if she's your Bashert, you can end up marrying her anyways. And if she's not your Bashert, then you can end up not marrying her. And you know what's going to happen? You will have davened and davened and davened and cried your tears out, trying to land a certain zivug. And then what's going to happen is, you're going to end up not marrying her because she wasn't your Bashert, and you're going to start denying in the Koy HaTfilah. And if you're going to start denying in the Koy HaTfilah, you know what may happen eventually? Kafarta Bashem. You may start denying the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rava said, I don't like this tefillah. Number one, it's pointless, because your Bashert is your Bashert, and really all there is downside, because if it doesn't work out, then it's just not going to be Gishmak. So the Gemara says, Basar Hachi, a short while later, Shamei, Rava again heard this person davening. And this was his tefillah. The Kamari said the following, Oi iu lemes mikama, oi iu thomas mikame, meaning he wanted to marry this woman so badly. He said that in the event it's not possible for this zivuk to happen, so he said, either I myself, he says, I can't live seeing someone else marry her. So he said that either he himself should die or she should die. The Omalei said, Rava told this person, Nu, lava mina l'cha loy tiboya ala, de milsa hachi, didn't I tell you you shouldn't daven this way? What was his point? Rava said, look at what happened. You started off with a bad tefillah, and you doubled down with an even worse tefillah. You started off davening for a specific shidduch, which is, number one, not negeya. Number two, it could only lead to bad things. And now, because you're thinking of a specific shidduch, and that's what your tefillah is, now all of a sudden you're davening that you should die or that she should die. Rachmana litzlan, I told you don't go down this road. This is not a good tefillah. What does this have to do with anything? So Rashi, we need help from Rashi to understand Pasha Pshan and the Gemara. You see from here that sometimes when it comes to shidduchim, people may want to marry someone that they may end up davening that even if it's not my basher to marry this person, but I don't want anyone else to marry her. And I want her to die. That's what Shmuel meant. What Shmuel meant when he said, Muta la'aris isha b'choyloi shalmayit shema yikadmenu achar, not shema yikadmenu achar, someone who's not basher to marry this woman is going to marry her. There's no such thing. If it's his basher, he's going to marry her. And if it's not his basher, then he's not going to marry her anyways. And if it's his basher, no one else will marry her. So there's no shema yikadmenu achar in terms of the actual marriage. But what Shmuel was worried about was Shemi Yekadmen Achar Betfila. Maybe somebody else is going to go ahead and daven that this woman should die because Segeitim and Laban, that he can't see someone else marry her. So what's going to end up happening is he's going to end up not having the Shidduch. So what Shmuel said was, if you want to marry her, just be Ma'ariser. You can't do Nesu'in. Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that's not something you're able to do. Erusin is not a stira to Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Make sure if you want to be Ma'ariser, just be Ma'ariser right away, just to prevent someone from reciting a tefillah, which may cost you your basher. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav, on this note, Mishum Rab Ruvain ben Astruvili. So Rav said in the name of Rab Ruvain ben Astruvili, Min HaTorah u'min HaNeviim u'min HaKsuvim Yashem Yisho Le'esh. There's rayas from Torah, from Neviim u'Ksuvim, also known as Tanakh, that may Hashem ishalish, that shetuchim happen, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's mezavig zivug. Min HaTorah, how do you know from the Torah? The pasuk says, Vayan lovan ubesuah, vayoyim, when they said, may Hashem yatza hadavar, may Hashem yatza hadavar, it's a pasuk in the Torah, so you see that it comes from Hashem. In HaNeviim, what's the makar from Neviim? So it's a pasuk in Shoiftim. The context over there is Shimshon, and Shimshon gets married to a woman. She wasn't Jewish. The Rambam says, of course, he was Megayah her. A lot of raid about the women that Shimshon HaGibor married. But either way, the pasuk says, "Va'ave v'imay lo yadu ki me Hashem hi." They didn't know me Hashem hi. What do you mean me Hashem hi? That the shidduch was bashert. So again, it's a pasuk not in the Torah. It's a pasuk in Nach. And finally, min aksuvim. How do you know min aksuvim? The pasuk says, "Bayis v'hoin nachlas avos u'me Hashem isha maskelas." You see that when it comes to a shidduch, that's something that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either way, we just mentioned something that Rav said in the name of Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili, which is related to shidduchin being bashert, which is related to Shmuel's very important halacha that he said in Hilchas Chalamoy, and that is muta la'aris isha b'choylo shalmoy shem yekadmen achar. Either way, you don't see Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili every single day in Shas. You certainly don't see Amar Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili every day in Shas. We mentioned one halacha that Rav said in the name of Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili. So the Gemara is going to digress, and the Gemara is going to mention another halacha that Rav said in the name of Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili. Zok the Gemara, Amar Rav Mishum Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili. Completely unrelated. V'amri la samsei, it wasn't Rav in the name of Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili, but the Masni Satana, Segevein Abraisa, Amar Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili. But again, regardless, it was Rav Ruvain ben Astruvili. Ain't Adam Nechshav Adavar. A person is not Nechshav Adavar. Meaning, if people are choshed somebody for committing something that he wasn't supposed to do, it wouldn't happen Elam Kenasai. Unless it really happened. Now, this is a very big Kiddush. If we would stop here and take this out of context, so anytime people are choshed someone of doing something wrong, it happened. The Imla Yasa Kulai said, Rab Ruvain ben Astruvili, and if the person didn't do it completely, meaning it's not entirely true, Asa Miktasa, he probably did part of it. The Imla Yasa Miktasa, what if he didn't even do part of it? Hira Baliboy Lasa Isai, at least he had a machshava, he had a hira ra to do it. The Imla Hira Baliboy, what if he says, no, I didn't even have a hira to do it? Ra Chayram Shasa, he must have seen other people do it, Vesamech, and he was happy. Says the Gemara, is this true? Masa Rab Yaakov, Rab Yaakov asked the Kasha from a Pasuk of Malachim Beis. The Pasuk says, Vayichapu Bnei Yisrael Dvarim, Ashaloi Kain, Al Hashem Aloi Kain. The Pasuk says that the Yidden accused HaKadosh Baruch Hu of doing things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel, was not guilty of. They were choshen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'ksherem, says the Gemara, So you're going to tell me that Rav Reuven ben Ashravili is right? So that means what they were choshed HaKadosh Baruch Hu of doing had some merit of truth to it. So the Gemara says, now that wasn't a real chshad. Meaning people weren't really choshed HaEbishta, they were just lahachas. These were Ivrei Avera, and they were trying to do the biggest Avera possible. We don't even have a hasaga today what it means for someone to be a Baal Avera lahachas. But once upon a time, there was such a concept, there was such a musak, and these were Ivrei Avera, not Leteyavin, nothing to do with taivas, nothing to do with kinna, nothing to do with gaiva. It was related 100% lahachis, literally kishmai kachi, to make Hashem angry, to make him mad. But the point is, that wasn't a real chshad. We're talking about a real chshad. If there's something that people are really chayshit someone of us, that's what Rav Reuven ben Ashravili meant to say, that this truth was. So the Gemara says, Hashma, I'll bring you another eye. The pasuk says, "Vayikanu leMoshe b'machane laHaron kedosh Hashem." And this Gemara is a well-known Gemara, very, very difficult Gemara to understand on the surface. What does it mean, "Vayikanu leMoshe"? Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar, "Malamit shchalecha ve'echad kinei le'ishtem Moshe." It means that every single married man warned his wife, "Altistery and Moshe of Masech." The site of fame, that don't get too close to Moshe, and the reason is because they were choshed Moshe Rabbeinu of the chet of Eishes Ish. So says the Gemara, very hard Gemara to understand. But once you hear what Rav Reuven ben Ashravili said, that ein adam nechshed b'davar elam kein asoy, he's guilty of it on some level. So what are you going to tell me? On some level, Moshe Rabbeinu was guilty of Eishes Ish, b'miktas, he had a machshava. He saw someone else be nichshol v'sameach. How could you say that? So the Gemara says there too, hasim yishum sinahu da'avit. That had nothing to do with merit. Meaning, no one was really choshed Moshe of Eishes Ish. They were behaving that way. They were saying things. They were going over to their wives and saying, altistery and Moshe. Why? Because they hated Moshe. Amazing. That's what the Gemara says. It was mishum sinahu da'avit. But of course, it wasn't a real chshad. We're talking about where there's a real chshad, where people really believe that somebody did something. If that's the case, that's what Rav Reuven ben Ashravili was referring to. So the Gemara says, Toshma, I'll bring you a right. Rabbi Yossi said, Yehei chelki misha choshe noitz v'davar be'en boy. He says, halavai, one day, I'll be zoichen shamayim to have a chelik in oilam haba with the oilam haba of people that people were choshed of doing a dvar avera, and it didn't really happen. And Rav Papa famously added to that, and he said, this actually happened. They were choshing me, and it wasn't true. So what exactly, what were they choshed Rav Papa about? So we have a rate bite on this, a whole bunch of different suggestions, dvarim niflam from the G'dayli Achrein. But again, you see, Rabbi Yossi wants the Olam Haba of the person. Now, if you're going to tell me, once the choshed a person, there's no such thing as Einboy. By definition, it means that on some level, this person is guilty of it. So why is this Rabbi Yossi's Olam Haba? There's not even such a thing. So the Gemara says, you have to say like Asha. You have to say there's two dinim. There's two types of choshed. Habit called the pasuk, habit called the loy pasuk. One is when there's a call of the pasuk, meaning where there was a rumor that was spread about a certain person, and then all of a sudden, the rumor petered out. That type of rumor is not the rumor that Rav Reuven ben Ashravili was referring to. That's not the chashad that he said must be there's some merit of truth to. And that's what Rabbi Yossi was referring to when he said, Yehei chelki umisha chosh tenoise bedoven. That's what Rav Papa meant when he said, Ledidi chashdun v'loi havibi. Habit kol the loy pasik. However, if the kol is loy pasik, it just continues to go on and on. This is something that has raglayim, then there must be a little bit of truth to it. And now the Gemara says, but before you run with this, you have to read the fine print. Number one, the kol the loy pasik ad kama. What does it mean, a kol the loy pasik? So we're differentiating now between a call that goes for a while and a call that doesn't go for a while. What's the difference? Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Amar Liyem, I heard from my mother. Abaye never knew his mother. But I heard from the woman that raised me, said Abaye, Doimi demasa yoimo palga, that when they spread rumors about people, it usually goes for a day and a half. So a day and a half, that's the benchmark. Less than a day and a half means it stopped. If it goes a day and a half, now there's some teeth with Ani Mili, Delay Pasik Beni Beni. The only time something's considered a call Delay Pasik is if it was Lay Pasik at all, meaning there wasn't even some interim period where it was cut off. Al pasak beni beni. But if even for a little bit of time it was cut off, less number, there's no merit to it. Vichy pasak beni beni also lay amar and alay pasak machasira. In the event it was a coil and there was an interim period where it stopped, but it stopped machmasira because this person was intimidating people. And as a result, people felt they had to stop. So then the fact that it stopped doesn't mean anything. Al pasak machmasira lay. It's neither here nor there. Additionally, vilay amar and alay had enough. Lavan. The only time a koil that was pasak is not a real koil, that's not a real rumor, it's not the rumor you need to worry about, that's only if it didn't sprout again. Aval hader nafak. But if it picked up teeth and it was reinvigorated, it's also not true, unless the person has any enemies. Aval islay oivim. But if the person has enemies, oivim who dafkul a koil, then the whole koil doesn't mean anything. Meaning, if this person is a politician, he's embroiled in some scenario where people may be incentivized to spread rumors about him, rumors that aren't necessarily true, so then of course this whole halacha is not going to be true. So this last gemara was a digression, although it's a fascinating topic, the topic of rumors, and really how do you treat rumors in halacha? It's a very, very complicated area in halacha, but at the same time, these gemaras that we just learned is really the backdrop, it's the aleph base in terms of understanding when rumors are spread and people start reacting, what's the halachic appropriate way of reacting? Sochti Gemara Vayter. Ein koisvin shtarei choyv b'moyed. You're not allowed to write a shtar choyv b'moyed. So the previous Mishnah discussed things that you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. And we said implied from the Mishnah's discussion of what you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed is that ordinarily it would be aser to write on Chol HaMoed. Now, why would it be aser to write on Chol HaMoed? That's easy, because Kosev is one of the Lamed Tes Melachos, and as a result, it would be an issue. So, the Mishnah mentioned exceptions to the rule, Ve'elu Kosev Memoed. Now, this Mishnah is continuing to discuss laws related to writing on Chol HaMoed. So, says the Mishnah, Ein Kosev Shtar Chayv B'Moed. You're not allowed to write a Shtar Chayv B'Moed. But let's say somebody needs money, and the Malva is willing to lend the money, but he says, I just don't trust you. You're going to come, you're going to say, Lehoyu Dvar Me'olam, and we're going to be forced to dive into a complex sugya masechtas bava metzia. I'm not going down that road. So what I want is a dechsi mekarti. I want to sit down. I want to write a shtar. I want to make sure it's 100% clear. So like this, if it ever comes to the point where we have a dispute like this, I'm going to make sure I get my money back. So if that's the case, or let's say the malva trusts the loifa, and really they're willing to push off maybe until after Yontif to write the shtar choyv. However, there's a cipher who needs parnasa. He's pashut ein loy mayoychal. So the halach is a reza yichtav. In any one of those cases, you're allowed to write it. So again, if the malva is not going to lend the money without the shtar choyv, you can write it. And even if the malva really would be willing to lend the money, however, there's a cipher that can use the parnasa. Al zeh nemar poil she'ein loy mayoychal. That's one of the exceptions to the rule when you're allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed. And in that instance, it would be okay. Another halach ein koisvin sfarim tefillin mezuzas b'moed. You're now allowed to write a sefer Torah, you can't write tefillin, you can't write mezuzas on Chol HaMoed. Ve'ein magiyin ois achas. You're not allowed to edit even on ois achas in any one of these svarim. And afilu b'sefer Ezra. Even in Sefer Ezra, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kosev adam tefillin mezuzas la'atzmoy." A person is allowed to write tefillin mezuzas, but only for himself. He can't write it for somebody else. Ve'toyve al yerechoy. Additionally, he's allowed to spin thread. Tcheles, the tzitzisoy for tcheles tzitzis, but he can only do it on his thigh. So ordinarily, if you're spinning thread, you would use your fingers or some sort of keli. That you're not allowed to do. You could do it with a shinoi. You would have to do it on your thighs. So just one thing before we start the Gemara. There's a machloikis in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether you're allowed to write sfarim tefillin mezuzas on Chol HaMoed. Ein koisvin sfarim tefillin mezuzas b'moed, ve'ein magiyin oisachas afilu b'sefer Ezra. Rabbi Yehuda argued, he said, la'atzmoy is something that you're allowed to do. So what does it mean, afilu sefer Ezra? So Rashi says, tu pshatim. And not only does Rashi say, tu pshatim, but Rashi says, I saw two different gersois in what the word even is. We have it, afilu b'sefer Ezra. Ezra with an aleph. Rashi says, I saw a gersa, afilu b'sefer Ezra with a hey, which would make it not Ezra, but rather Azara. So says Rashi, if the Girs is with an Aleph, then what it's referring to is the Sefer Torah of Ezra, as in Ezra the Sofer. Ezra was a Sofer, he had written a Sefer Torah. This was a Sefer Torah that the Yidden had been Messiah, and it was a very, very important Sefer Torah. And what the Mishnah is saying is that not only can't you be Magia, a Sefer Torah, but even Ezra's Sefer Torah, which is something that you would have thought is different, even that you're not allowed to be Magia. Rashi says, if the Girsa is Ezra with a hey, then what it's referring to is a Sefer that was Muga, that was in the Azara. Shemimenu hoyu Magian kol Sifrei Goyla. That was considered the perfect Sefer Torah. And whenever they needed to use a Sefer Torah as the benchmark to know the way a Sefer Torah is supposed to be written with all the Chaseiris and the Yeseiris and all the Mesiris. So this was the Sefer Torah that was used. So it was the Sefer Torah that was kept in the Azar. Again, a very important Sefer Torah. So you would have thought for sure that Sefer Torah, for whatever reason they felt they had to be Magia, Definitely do it on Chol HaMoed. That's what the Mishnah is saying. You want to make the point that you can't touch a Sefer Torah? Afilu Sefer Ezra, the Sefer of Ezra, a Sefer, or Afilu Sefer Azara. Either way, the Mishnah mentioned a Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda the Chachamim as it relates to this Sefer. In Koisvin, Sfar Tfilu and Mezuzas B'Moed, period. Rabbi Yehuda says, La'atzmoy, this is something that you're allowed to do. So the Gemara is going to expound on this a little bit. Tan Rabban and Abraisa. Koisvin, Tfilu and Mezuzas La'atzmoy. A person's allowed to write Tfilu and Mezuzas for himself. V'toival Yurechoy, Tcheles L'tzitzisoy. Additionally, he's allowed to spin Tcheles for his tzitzis, but he has to do it on his thigh. That's the first sheet. L'acherim, if he wants to do it for somebody else, B'toival, then you could do it. You can't get compensation in return, but you could do it for Tevas Anah. You could do it in exchange for a favor. Divrei Rab Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Mayrim u'moichner es shaloi. If a person wants to write Tefillin and Mezuzahs, so again, he's only allowed to do it for himself. So how could he get around it? What he could do is he could do a harama. What's the harama? The person's going to sell his own tefillin. He's going to sell his own tzitz, his own mezuzah. Now he's going to need tefillin, he's going to need mezuzah. Oh, now the kaisef shaloi. Now you can go ahead and you can write it for yourself. So you're not allowed to write for somebody else. You could write for yourself. So what do? If you don't need it, somebody else needs it. You give somebody else yours, and then you end up writing your own. Rabbi Yossi says, you could do it in the regular way. You're allowed to write even for somebody else. Some say Rav Chananel, Rav Chananel. Halacha, what's the halacha? That this is something that you're allowed to do, and you're allowed to do it kidei parnasasa. Now, what's the difference between writing for yourself or writing for somebody else? So the difference is really based on something that we saw already in the first part of the Masechta, when we were knee deep in the halachas of Hilchas Chol HaMoed and doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. And that is that when you do a malacha for yourself, then it's considered more kuladig than when you do a malacha expecting to get paid. The moment you're getting paid for what you do, it's more an uvdin d'chayil. And therefore, Chazal were more machmer. So if you want to be koisev, but you're being koisev la'atzmai, so in that instance, it would be okay. But if you're being koisev la'acherim, that's where it's more chamerdig, and that's really the yisoid of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says, koisev adam tullan mazuz la'atzmai, it's something you're allowed to do for yourself. It's just not something that you're allowed to do for somebody else, or in exchange for payment. Maybe if the person's paying you with a favor, it would be mutter. Again, well, what are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to make it not look transactional. We're trying to make it not look vachendig. We wanted to give it a yontif digger field. The Mishnah said at the end, that if a person wants to spin tcheilos, he can do it, but he has to do it on his thigh. I mean, he can't do it in the traditional way. A person's allowed to spin tcheilos on his thigh for a tzitzis. You're not allowed to use a stone. You are allowed to use a stone. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishmai, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, be'evin, that you are allowed to use a stone, meaning, the original version of Rabbi Eliezer is you can use an oven. Rabbi Yehuda said, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer you could use an oven. Avalei bepelech, you can't use a spindle. And according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, Chachamim are more makel, and they say bein be'evin, bein befelech. You can use an oven and a felech. So everyone agrees the Chachamim were more makel than Rabbi Eliezer, which makes sense. Rabbi Eliezer shamuti mishamai, bishamai was always machmer. So Rabbi Eliezer traditionally is a machmer. So for sure, Rabbi Eliezer is being machmer. The question is, what the machloikis is. According to the first version, Rabbi Eliezer says you could use your thigh, not an evan. The Chachamim say you could even use an evan. According to the second version, even Rabbi Eliezer allows you to use an evan. You just can't use a spindle. Chachamim say you could even use a spindle. Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, bein be'evan, bein befelech. You can use a stone, you can use a spindle. Valacha, and halacha also is koisev kedarkoi. You're allowed to write kedarkoi, umoicher kedei parnasasoi, and you're allowed to sell kedei parnasasoi, yidzel. Allowed to make a parnasa, and this is something that he's allowed to do even on Chol HaMoed. Now, the truth is, this concludes the portion of Perek Ve'elu Megalchin that talks about writing on Chol HaMoed. And really, the sugya of writing on Chol HaMoed is a very, very big sugya. In fact, I was talking to Rabbi Bienenfeld, and he was telling me that we covered doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, we covered tefillin on Chol HaMoed, we covered shaving on Chol HaMoed, and really the one thing we still need to cover is writing on Chol HaMoed, stating that it's not something that we're going to go into today, maybe in the coming days, although the sugyas are coming heavy, so it's not mistaber that we're going to be able to find time. So Be'ezus Hashem, Oid Chazoy L'Moed, we're going to have to go through this whole noisei, but Pata B'Loi Klumi Yefshir, just one Ma'ar Makam that's worth mentioning, literally a Mishnah Brura, that's it. And that is, it's in Hilchas Chol HaMoed, it's in Simen Tov Kuf Mem Hei, that's where the sugi is of Dinei Ksiva B'Chol HaMoed are. Again, it's a very, very Geschmack is sugi with a whole bunch of interesting nuances. And that is, in Simen Tavkuf Mem Hei, Sivkot and Tess, the Mechaber says as follows. Says the Shulchan Aruch, V'im shama dvar chiddush. If a person has a chiddush in Torah, muto l'koisva, you're allowed to write it on Chol HaMoed, kidei shelo yishkach, so you shouldn't forget it. V'chein im ros sefer mechodesh. Or if somebody sees a new sefer, muto l'hatikoi. You're allowed to sit and you're allowed to copy the sefer. In the event that you're not going to be able to print it after Chol HaMoed. Which, by the way, that's fascinating insight into the way the world once was. Before there were copy machines and before it was easy to mass produce svarim, so if somebody saw a sefer, he saw a manuscript, he would sit down and he would copy it. Simply it's like this, he should have it. So says the Shulchan Aruch, again, this is the Mechaber talking, this is a very long time ago. So he says that a person is allowed to write a Dvar Chiddush on Chol HaMoed, and not just that, if a person sees a sefer and he wants to have a copy of it, and the only way he's going to have a copy of it is if he does it old school, he literally copies it word for word, then it's something that he would be allowed to do. Says the Mishnah Brura, what's the reason for it? So he says the reason is because we know that even though you're not allowed to do malacha Chol HaMoed, there are times you're allowed to. And what is the most notable exception to the rule of when you're allowed to do malacha Chol HaMoed? If it's a dovera of it. So says the Mishnah Brura, he says that if a person has a chiddush and he's afraid that he's going to forget the chiddush, or he's not going to have time after Yontif to sit down and properly write the chiddush, or if a person sees a sefer and he doesn't know if he'll ever be able to get the sefer unless he sits and he writes it down on Chol HaMoed, so up the Mishnah Brura, ein locha dovera of a gadol mizeh. This is the greatest example of a dovera of it. So the Masechta began with a case of dovera of it. Mashkim beis hashlochin. It's very nice, you have a field, and it relies on irrigation, and right now the field is dry, and you're worried you're going to lose your crops, so therefore you have a whole sugya of mashkin beis hashlochim, that you're allowed to figure out a way to be mashkin beis hashlochim. It's like this, you shouldn't lose it. Why? And even though to be mashkin is a told of chayresh, a told of zeireya, machlik is rabin, rabbi yosef, da bezam, bezam, asachtis my cotton, but for a dovera of it, we let the farmer put his boots on, go out into the field, and work. Why? Because it's dovera of it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if that's considered davar ovid, losing crops in your field, can you imagine if a person loses a sefer or a chiddush, something that can change fundamentally his ruchnius? Ein locha davar ha'aved gadol mizeh. So says the Chafetz Chaim, it's a poshet ha'alocha. If mashkin beis ha'shlochim v'mayit, kal v'chaymer ben b'noishol kal v'chaymer em shom ha'dvar chiddush mutter l'koisvoy. It's interesting, the Mishnah Brura then brings ve'hi'idu al ha'bach. They say edus about the bach, that the Bach wrote the Sefer Bach on Chol HaMoed. Not to digress, when we spoke out the tshuva from the Rosh, the one with Lahavdil, November 22nd, so in that tshuva, the Rosh wrote a tshuva where it hadn't rained throughout the whole winter, and into Pesach, and he wanted that they should continue saying the same Talamatul of Racha, they should continue saying Mashav Racha Moed Hageshem. So on Chol HaMoed Pesach, the Rosh sat down and he wrote his tshuva. And he writes at the end, this is the last line, V'lehoyisi koisev b'chol HaMoed, that really I would not have written this tshuva on Chol HaMoed, ki loy hurgalti b'kach, because my minhag always was not to write even Torah on Chol HaMoed. Elo shetzorech hashohu, v'pnei chil al Hashem shamayim, v'gam yesh bedover hazeh, k'tsas mitzorech HaMoed. Number one, it's a chil al Hashem, and number two, there's a little bit of an inyan of tzorech HaMoed. Now we're learning my cotton, we can appreciate this a little bit better. Tzorech HaMoed, that's one of the exceptions to the rule. That's what the Rosh is invoking, a whole sif cotton in Shulchan Aruch, that when it's tzorech HaMoed, it's something that you're allowed to write. But the Rosh said that number one, tzorech HaMoed, that was really number two, number one was chil al Hashem. So you have to know where chil al Hashem plays into the heter, meaning what under which exception to the rule does that fall into, or maybe that's a whole other thing. But either way, the Bach wrote his pirush on Chol HaMoed. The Rosh really didn't want to write a tshuva on Chol HaMoed. Fascinating topic, but the point is that you're allowed to write Torah on Chol HaMoed, and the reason is because, like the Mishnah Brura says, "Ein locha davar ha'aved gadol mizeh." So we're going to digress now. A whole new topic, a topic that we've touched on already a little bit, and that's the sugya of avela. So we're just going to make a schol on it now, and Bezat Hashem we'll pick it up over the next several days. So Zok the Mishnah. So we learned already, right at the beginning of the parak, that Yontif, when it comes in conflict with Avelos, trumps Avelos. Yontif knocks out Avelos. Not only does it knock out Avelos, but this is something that unfortunately everybody knows. If someone is sitting Shiva, someone's in Avelos, and then Yontif happens, so the halacha is, this person does not resume, he does not continue sitting Shiva. The reason is, because not only is Shiva not noyeg on Yontif, but Yontif has the ability to be soyser. It completely, it destroys it. And after Yontif, the Avil does not have to resume his Avelos. This is true for Shiva. It's also true, as we saw in yesterday's daf, for Shloishim. Either way, our Mishnah is the source to this. And it's actually interesting, because our Mishnah is going to lay out the basic blueprint for how Yontif interacts with Avelos. And what's interesting is that the Mishnah, even though it's a Stam Mishnah, is very much not Halacha L'maisa. So you have a Stam Mishnah, you would think, this is for sure the way we pass it. And the emes is, we're about to learn the Mishnah now, and it's really very, very much not Halacha L'maisa. This is not the Halacha Mishnah. If somebody buries his loved one of his Karevim, 3 days before Yontif, Batlei Menu Gzaira Shiva. The Halacha is, there's no Shiva. So if a person sat Shiva ready for 3 days, and then Yontif happens, so the halach is Yontif knocks out the Shiva. Clearly implied, if the person did not sit Shiva yet for 3 days, then Yontif would not be soysed the Shiva. This is the first thing in this Mishnah that we don't paskin like. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that if a person sits Shiva even for a minute, the halach is that Yontif would be soysed the Shiva. But either way, that's the halach of the Mishnah. Now, what's the significance of 3 days? So we're going to get more into this. But Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, so even though the truth is there is Avelus of Shiva, but the Iker, the primary Avelus, is really only 3 days. So if the person already did the primary Avelus, he already had 3 days, then it's just the Tufel part of the Shiva. Yontif is Soysa, the Tufel part of the Shiva. If, however, the person didn't have the Iker part of the Shiva yet, then the Halach is Yontif is not going to knock it out. Okay, Shmoina. If the person sat Shiva already 8 days, but Lohimenu Gzeira Shloishim, at that point, there's not going to be Shloishim. So, as we said, Yontif, just like it's Doicha Shiva, it's also Doicha Shloishim. However, the only time it's Doicha Shloishim is once Shloishim started. And as we saw in yesterday's daf, Shloishim starts when Shiva ends. Conventional wisdom is that they overlap. That Shloishim is 30 days, Shiva is 7 days, but the first 7 days, there's crossover. The truth is not. The truth is that because Shiva is more chomer than Shloishim, the dinim of Shloishim are not really considered to have began until Shiva begins. So when then does Shloishim start? It starts on day 8. And being that it starts on day 8, so if the day 8 happened and then there was Yontif, so now the Shloishim began. So once the Shloishim begins, so then we have the halacha that Yontif is going to knock it out. However, if the 8th day didn't happen yet, so then the Yontif will not knock it out, because until day 8, the Shloishim didn't begin. We don't paskin like this either. We paskin like Abishol, who we saw in yesterday's daf, who we're going to see again in today's daf, who holds Mixas Ayom Kekuloi, so he holds that Shiva ends right in the morning of the 7th day, which means Shloishim begins right in the morning of the 7th day. The 7th day is Oilu Lekan Olekan. It counts as the 7th day of Shiva, and it also counts as the 1st day of Shloishim. And it's for that reason, even if Yontif would come on the 7th day, not on the 8th day, it would be considered that Shloishim started already. Again, once Shloishim started, like we mentioned, at that point, there's not going to be any more Shloishim, because Yontif is going to be knock it out. Either way. So again, if Yontif knocks out Shiva, but only after the 3rd day, Yontif knocks out Shloishim, but only on the 8th day. What's the reason for all this? Neish Amru says the Mishnah, Shabbos, Oyelavein, Mafsek. Shabbos counts as one of the days of Shiva, one of the days of Shloishim, and it doesn't knock it out. Regolim, Mafsekim, Ein Oylan. As opposed to Yontif, Yontif doesn't count as part of Shiva, doesn't count as part of Shloishim, but at the same time, it's also Mafsekim. Rebbeleza says, Mashchar Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Atzeres Keshabbos, Shavuos became like Shabbos. So according to Rebbeleza, just like Shabbos doesn't knock out Avelos, Shavuos also doesn't knock out Avelos. But Rebbeleza said it was only Mishachara Beis HaMikdash. But before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, meaning when there was a Beis HaMikdash, this wasn't the halacha. Why not? So Rashi says, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, even though Shavuos was 1 day, like it is today, but if a person didn't bring the carbon that he had to bring on Shavuos during Shavuos, he had 7 days of Tashlumen. So on some level, Shavuos was really 7 days. We have a raid bite, the 7 days of Shavuos. And we're really, where this is Negei Halacha L'maaseh, Saint Tachnan, and different is a famous Reb Shul Leib Diskin, you could be Mekabel, Chayav Adam Lekabel, Pnei Rabbi Beregel, during the 7 days of Shavuos, because these were Shtikl Yontif Digger days. But more so when there was a Beis HaMikdash, not so much now. So says Rebbe Eliezer, once upon a time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so there was an Indian of 7 days of Shavuos. Today there's no Indian anymore of 7 days of Shavuos. Today Shavuos is only 1 day. Being that it's only 1 day, it's like Shabbos, which is only 1 day. If it's like Shabbos, that's 1 day. So therefore, it wouldn't knock it out. Gamliel says, Rosh Hashanah, V'yoyim HaKippurim K'regalim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though they're 1 day, but they're treated like Yontif. The Chachamim said, like the Reizeh, like the Reizeh. They don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, they don't hold Rabbi Gamliel, El Atzeres, Kirugol. They hold Shavuos as a Yontif. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Yom Kishabbos, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is like Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah, by the way, is always a quasi Yontif, right? Rosh Hashanah is Yontif. But at the same time, there's no Simchas Yontif maybe on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah in different sugyas is treated differently. Either way, this is the Mishnah. We're going to have a lot of Gemara that's going to talk about this very, very important Mishnah. Zok the Heilige Gemara. Amar Rav. Rav said, Gzeiras Batlu, Yomim Loi Batlu. So Rav was commenting on what the Mishnah said, that Yontif knocks out Shloishim. And Rav said, quote, Gzeiras Batlu, Yomim Loi Batlu. V'chein Amar Rav Huna said the same cryptic statement. Gzeiras Batlu, Yomim Loi Batlu. Rav Sheisha said, Afilu Yom Nami Batlu. So what does this all mean? Rav Huna and Rav said, Gzeiras Batlu, but Yomim Loi Batlu. Rav Huna said that no, even Yomim were Loi Batlu. So says the Gemara, my time, even Yomim were Batlu. So the Gemara says, my time, Yomim Loi Batlu. Now usually my time, it means what's the reason. But over here, Rashi says, Koloimar. What does Koloimar mean? Rashi's bothered with something. Whenever Rashi says Koloimar, that means Rashi's bothered with something. There's something not Pashup, right? Rashi always explains Pashup Shah. So if Rashi says Koloimar, it means Rashi's struggling to give you the most simple basic shot on the Gemara. So Rashi throws in, he invokes the word Koloimar. Be'eze inyan loy batlu yamin. It's not a mic timer, what's the reason? We're not trying to be Dairish time at the Krah here. What we're trying to understand is Pashup Shah. What does this mean, yamin loy batlu? Says the Gemara, this is what it means. Shimloy gilach erev ha-regel, osel galech acha-regel. This is like a Chiddush Naira. You know what Damiram was saying? Damiram was saying as follows, that once Shloishim starts, Yontif knocks out Shloishim. Now, we saw in yesterday's daf, that means that if somebody finds himself in the middle of Shloishim, even though during Shloishim a person is not allowed to be Megaleach, but being that Yontif is going to knock out Shloishim, now he'll be able to be Megaleach. Here's the punchline. Not only will he be able to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed, but he'll be able to be Megaleach already on Erev Yontif. Erev Yontif will be able to be Megaleach. What if a person wasn't Megaleach Erev Yontif? Okay, so he's not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, so he'll look a little scruffy, right? Well, what does that mean? Says the Amayuroyim, Heramaisa. If Yontif comes in the middle of Shloishim, and the person now had an opportunity to take advantage of the fact that Yontif knocks out Shloishim, so at the very least, make himself look kempt. So like this, when he walks into Yontif, he's going to enter looking in a Yontif de Goyfin. He didn't do that. So you know what happens? It's like a knas. You know what the knas is? After Yontif, he's going to have to go back and have his Shloishim. What is having Shloishim after Yontif have to do with how he reacted to the fact that really he had the opportunity to clean himself up before Yontif? It's not clear. But that's what the Gemara means to say. Yomim loy batul, shim loy gilach erev haregel, osner legalech achar haregel, zog rashi, kol Shloishim yoy. Now all of a sudden, after regel, not a chol moed, nothing to do with ve'elam agal chav moed, after Yontif, he's not going to be up. So the Gemara v'tanya, and there's actually a braisa that supports this. Like, ve'es meis shloishim yom kait maregel, if somebody buries his meis 3 days before Yontif, batle manu gzeir shiv, there's no shiv anymore. Like the Mishnah said, shmoinu yom kait maregel, 8 days before, batle manu gzeir shloishim, umigalech erev haregel, and he's allowed to shave erev haregel. Im loy gilach erev haregel, if he doesn't shave erev haregel, also legalech achar regel, he's not libim galech anymore after regel. This is the raya, right? This is the vahatanya benichus. Abishol commented, he said, mutal legalech achar regel. Abishol argued. He said that no, that even a person that wasn't megalech koidim regel is allowed to be megalech achar regel. Shekeshem she mitzvah shloishim mivatelas gzera shiva, kach mitzvahs shiva mivatelas gzera shloishim. So no, the halacha is, and knocks it out, and the halacha is that he will be able to shave. Says the Gemara, Shiva v'anan shmoina tanan. What's the Gemara's kasha? Abishol said that kach mitzvah shiva mevatelas gzera shloishim. Once the person observed 7 days, and then Yontif comes, there's no shloishim. So afraid the Gemara, is it 7 days? What did the Mishnah say? Mishnah said 8 days. The Braisa also said 8 days. So Zokta Abishol, once 7 days is no Shloishim. It's not 7 days, it's 8 days. Oh, so the Gemara says, Kasov Abishol, this is Abishol Shita. Abishol holds Mixas Ayoim Kekuloi. That Mixas Ayoim Kekuloi. So the Yoim Shvi, the 7th day, is Oiloloi Lekan Olekan. It's Oiloloi as the 7th day of Shiv. It's also Oiloloi as the 1st day of Shloishim. So according to Abishol, when does Shloishim start on day 7? So if it starts on day 7, that's when Abishol said his Aloha, he made it sound as if it's day 7, not day 8, because this is Abishol Shitasi. Das is Abishol. This is the Abishol that holds that mixes Hayoyim Kekuloi so that the Shiva ends on day 7 and that the Shloshim starts on day 7. Amrav Chizda, Amrav Avinu Bar Sheila. Halacha k'Abishol. We pass like Abishol. Not like our Mishnah. Moidim Chamal Abishol. And he added a Chamim when Moidim Tabishol. This was yesterday's daf. Kishachol Shmidi Shloilias B'Shabbos of the 8th day of Shiva. Meaning the 8th day in the Shloshim. Falls on Shabbos, Erev Harega, which is also Erev Yontif, Shemutal Galech, Erev Shabbos, he'd be allowed to be Galech, Erev Shabbos, even though it's the seventh day, so really he shouldn't be able to, but he's going to be allowed to. Zok Tigman, come on, also hold him Rav Amram Rav. According to who was the following halacha said? Avel, kivin she'omdu menachemim yetzloi, as soon as the menachemim get up from the Avel, mutter berchitza, he's allowed to wash himself. This is the seventh day of Avelos. So, Rav said that an Avel, on day 7, as soon as the menachemim, the people that came to console and to comfort Davelim, as soon as they get up, the person's already allowed to bathe, meaning the dinim of Shiva are no longer nogeya. Kiman, who is that like? It's very posh. It's Abishol who holds mixayim kakula. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Alocha kabishol biyoyim shiva. We paskin like Abishol regarding Shiva, meaning the seventh day, mixayim kakula. And then he added, he said, even a bigger kula, umoydim chachomim labishol biyoyim shloishim damir mixayim kakula. And as it relates to shloishim, everybody agrees mixayim kakula. So as it relates to Shiva, we have a machloikis. But as it relates to shloishim, meaning day 30, there even the chachomim umoydim tabishol, there's no machloikis. You don't have to say that Alocha is like Abishol because there's no machloikis. It goes without say. In other words, we always paskin in Avelis Mikzayim Kekulai. By Shiv, it's a machloikis Abishol and the Chachamim, we paskin like Abishol. By Shloishim, there was never a machloikis, and as a result, we're not after paskin like Abishol. It's easy because everyone agrees. Rava, I'm a Rava argue, right? So that was Abaya, so there's always Rava. Halacha k'Abishol b'yom Shloishim, we paskin like Abishol b'yom Shloishim, implying that there's a machloikis Abishol and the Chachamim regarding Shloishim. Okay, he agrees with the Psak, does Rava. We paskin Mikzayim Kekulai. But as it relates to Shiva, we actually don't paskin like Abishol. We paskin like the Stam Mishnah says, Rava. We paskin that Shiva is the entire 7 days, which means Shloishim doesn't start until day 8. And the Naharadah, and the Yeshiva is there, they used to say, Alocha Kabishol, Bezu, Bezu, Hachra. Meaning, Sai, by Shiva and by Shloishim, Abishol and the Chachamim argued. That's like Rava, but as it relates to the halacha, we paskin like Abaya, we always paskin like Abishol, the Amar Shmuel, and this is based on something Shmuel said. Halacha, kedivrei, hameko, ba'ava. We always paskin like the meko. The meko is to say mixas hayoyim kekuloi, and to say it's side by Shiva and side by Shloishim, and that's the bottom line. Zoktimar, Shloishim yom yinol. What's the makar to Shloishim? Yalef, pera, pera minaz. We don't exactly show from Nazik. Sivach says over here, Rosh Sheichem al tifro. And this pasuk is talking about by the Misa of Nadav and Avihu. And Allah and Nisamar, they became Oininim, they became Avelim, and Hashem tells Allah and Nisamar that you're going to be a little different than an ordinary Avil. An ordinary Avil, he has to let us here grow. But for you, Rosh Sheichem al tifro. But what do you see from here? You see that an Avil has to let his hair grow, how long? To the point where you would refer to it as tifro. Tifro, the Shirish, the root of the word, is Pera. Okay, v'ksiv hasam, and it says by the Nazir, gadol pera, saroshay. Oh, that's major insight. Why? Because how long is Naziris? Everyone knows. Stam Naziris is shloishim yay. Mala halon shloishim. Afkan shloishim salto here is shloishim. V'hasam, how do you know it's shloishim over there? Amar avnasa, stam Naziris is shloishim yay. Because stam Naziris is shloishim yay. My time, amakar, kodesh yeh. Yeh begimatria talsan have. The word yeh is begimatria 30. That's how you know stam Naziris is lamed yay. One more gemara. Amar Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua said, hakom eidim, everybody agrees. Shechol shlishi, shaloi liyas erev regal. If the third day of Avelis falls on an Erev Yantiv, Sha'asa Berechitza Ada Erev. It's going to be Asa Berechitza Ada Erev. So Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua was saying that even though Yantiv is Doicha Avelis, that's the topic of our Mishnah, and even though ordinarily it would be Doichit, even for Erev Aregel, so the person could stop preparing for Yantiv, but if it's day 3, the first 3 days, as we saw, that's the Ikra Avelis, that's no Chomer, so then Asa Berechitza Ada Erev. Amar Rav Nechemi b'reid Rav Yeshua, Ashkachtim l'Rav Papi, Uli Rav Papa, the Yasvi v'Kamri, I met Rav Papi and Rav Papa, they were sitting together, and they said, Halachik Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. The Halach is like this Chumrah of Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Igadar Misam say, Amar Rav Nechemi b'reid Rav Yosef, Ashkachtim l'Rav Papi, Uli Rav Papa, Uli Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. So wasn't Rav Papi and Rav Papa opining about what Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua said, but rather Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua was with them when this story happened. The Yasvi v'Ka'amri Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees. Shemchol Shlishi Shaloi Lias Erev Aregel. That if the third day falls on an Erev Yontim, Sha'asa Berechitza Ad Erev, that would be Asa Berechitza Ad Ha Erev. Exhale. So the truth is, today's daf is mamish a loaded daf. We started off talking about Bashert and Arbam Yoim Koidim Yitzias Avlad, Baskol, says Bas Pleni Lepleni. From there, we talked about rumors in Halacha, which is a fascinating topic. Writing on Cholomoid, and then Hilchas Avelis. So, as far as raid goes, it's hard to choose. So, we decided to do something a little out of the box, and that is go back to yesterday's daf. So we're going to go back to Daf Yud Ches and revisit a very important Gemara that we didn't have time to speak any raid on, and that is a Gemara on the top of Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. It's Kedai to see the Gemara again inside. So it's two lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. The Gemara tells a story. Pinchas Achua de Mar Shmuel Israbei Milsa. Mar Shmuel, as in the great Amor Shmuel, he had a brother whose name was Pinchas. Pinchas was sitting Shiva. All Shmuel a Mishal time of Minei. So Shmuel went to be Menachem Avil, his brother. Says the Gemara, Chazinu l'tufi davin afisha. And he saw that his fingernails were long. Amalei. So he asked him, Amalei shoklas lo. Why don't you cut your nails? Amalei. So Pinchas turned to Shmuel. And he told him, my beloved brother, don't you realize? He said, you see what's going on? He's sitting Shiva right now. And he said, Ibidi dehava. He said, if this was you, if the roles were reversed, me mezalzas pekulehai, would you be mezalzal in Shiva? Says the Gemara, Havoi kishkoga sheyoytze milifnei hashalat. It was literally like a decree that came out of the mouth of the ruler, the Isra bei Milsa b'Shmuel. And a short while later, Shmuel himself found himself in that very situation where he was sitting Shiva. And the Gemara says, oh, Pinchas achul mishal time aminei. And Pinchas went, and he went to be Menachem Avil Shmuel this time. As he comes and he sits down with Shmuel, shaklinu l'tofre, Shmuel cut his fingernails, l'shitasa, yell, that was something you're allowed to do, and chaftinu l'ape. And he literally flicked them in front of his brother. Amalei, he told him, leslach bris krusel isfasayim. He says, I don't understand. Don't you know the power of speech, the power of words? How did you utter those words that you uttered? When I came to be Menachem Avilu, the Amr Rabbi Yochan, and said, "Minayin shebris krusel l'svasayim." How do you know bris is krusel l'svasayim? Because the pasuk says, "Vayomer Avram al na'arav." Avram told the na'arav, "Shvulachem poyim achamar, v'ani v'hanar nelcha adkoy, v'nishtacheve, v'nashuva aleichem." The context is Avram is going together with Yitzchak and Yishmael and Eliezer Eved Avram, and they're going to do the Akedah. Now Yitzchak doesn't know at that point where they're going. So Avram goes to a certain point. He turns around. And he tells Yishmael and Eliezer Eved Avram, he says, me and the Nar, you know, we're going to go now up to the mountain. V'nishtachave, we're just going to bow down to the Shechina on the mountain. V'noshuvah, and we're going to come back to you. So you just wait here. We're about to come back. V'estaya milsa, v'kachave, said Rabbi Yochanan, the Hadid Travayu, that they actually returned. So what do you see from here? So Rabbi Yochanan said, you see the power of speech. Because really, that's not what was supposed to happen. There was supposed to be an Akedah. So, minayin shebris krusulis vasayim. How do you know that bris is krusulis vasayim? Says the Gemara, you know it from this pasuk. V'yoymer Avram el na'arav, shvu lochem poyim achamor v'ani v'hanar nelchad. So that's what Shmuel told Pinchas. He said, Pinchas, how did you tell that to me? He says, I understand, maybe I was insensitive to you. But at the same time, to say something like that, that's bris krusalis vasayim. This is something that you should have been careful of. And the truth is, this Gemara, if you stop and meditate on it a little bit, and you're mispainin, it's an incredible Gemara. You see the power of speech. Minayin shebris krusalis vasayim. Rabbi Yochanan's memra, and the Gemara said that Pinchas said something to Shmuel, and it was kishkoga sheyoytze milifnei hashalet, that Shmuel found himself sitting shiva simply because of something that his brother told him. The truth is, there's another Gemara, which is very, very much me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan, Tosfos on our Amud already shtelsu this Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Brachos. Daf Yutes Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there says as follows: Tanu Rabbanan ha'oiskim behesped. People that are involved in a hesped, they're being maspid a mes. Incidentally, Brachos Yutes Amar Aleph is the third parak of Masechtas Brachos. It's parak Misha Meisai. And the truth is, everyone knows that parak Ve'elu Megalchin is a parak that the Sefer Chassidim said there were people that didn't want to learn. It's interesting that if you look at that Sefer Chassidim, the same exact piece says that the same people that never wanted to learn Ve'ilu Megalchim never wanted to learn the third parak of Masechtas Brachos. But I guess maybe in all the excitement of the beginning of the Daf Yomi Machzor, somehow that gets lost. But parak Ve'ilu Megalchim went down in history as a parak that there were always people that learned with trepidation. But the third parak Misha Mesa, it's in the same sentence, the same exact Rav Yudah Chassid that talks about people that don't want to learn Ve'ilu Megalchim, and he doesn't like it, he rebukes them, he says, Toiv lo lechas leveis Avel, learn the Eilu Magalchem. So he says it's talking about the third parak of Masechtas Brachos as well. Either way, the third parak of Brachos very much correlates with the third parak of Ma'ikatan. It's Ve'inyan Le'inyan Ba'is Inyan. So says the Braisa, Ha'oiskim Behespes, Mach HaMeis Mutal Lefneim, if the mace is there in the Shmatim Echad Echad, V'kir, Ein HaMeis Mutal Lefneim, Hein Yoishvin, V'kirin, V'u Yoishay V'daimim. Okay. Heim Oimdim U'mespalalim. V'hu, skipping, the person that's an Avol gets up, umatzdik all of a sudden. He's supposed to be matzdik the din. This is what he should say. Ribayin ha'ilamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, harbi chatasi lefanecha. I sin so much towards you. V'loi nefrata mimeni, echad mini elef. And this punishment that you just gave me, it's 1,000th of what I really deserve. Yiratzai milfanecha, Hashem aleikenu, shetigdar pirtzai senu, or pirtzai skalamcha beis yisro berachamim. Zok to Gemar. It's a braisa. I'm Rabbi. Abai heard this braisa. And Abai heard that the time in the braisa wants an awful to get up and turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is so painful. This is so awful. Abetzidukadin, Baruch Dayino Emes. And then he should say that Golu V'yodua, I understand that really I'm not deserving of anything because Harbi Chatosi Lefanecha, V'lein Efrata Mimeni Echad Miniel. So Abai said, don't say this. Don't say words like that out of your mouth. What? A person's going through a tzara and he should turn and he should say this is 1,000th of what this person deserves. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, and he said, there's a braisa that already mentions in the name of the great Rabbi Yossi. A person should never give the satan an opportunity to be mekatrik. Rabbi Yossi, Micro, what's the makar to this? The pasuk says, Kimat kistoim hayinu. The Navi says, Yeshaya Perek Aleph. This is the Navi of Chazon Yeshayo. So the Navi says that we were like Sodom, Kemat like Stoim. Maya Hadalu Navi, Shimu Dvar Hashem Kitsine Stoim. And then eventually the Yidden suddenly are they're being compared to Stoim. So you open up an opportunity for the Satan to be Mekatrik. You have to be careful. So there's a concept of Al Tiftach Pele Satan. So this is Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa Inyan. Our Gemara talks about Bris Krusel Lisfasayim. And the Gemara Brachas Daf Yates Haman Aleph talks about Al Tiftach Pele Satan. The truth is, there's a very lengthy discussion in the Achronim what the difference is between these two concepts. It doesn't sound like it's the same thing. If it's the same thing, then we would just say the same thing. Here, Bris Krusa Lefasayim, and here, Al Tiftach Pele Satan. And there's different ideas that are suggested by different Gedoyli Achronim and Kadmonim, but for sure, even though Leiroi Yizeh Kiroi Yizeh, Hatzad Ashava Shabahen, is that a person has to be very, very careful with what comes out of his mouth. The truth is that this is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's halacha psuka. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Hilchas Avelos, not surprising. It's in Simen Shin Ayin Vav. It's Siv Katan Beis in the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Lo Yoymar Adam, a person should not say, Lo Nefrati Kefi Masai, that even though I was just punished, but this is not really what I deserve. Boy, do I... person shouldn't say that. Or use your imagination to come up with a similar nusach. Don't say this. Shal yiftach piv l'satan. A person is not allowed to say something where he's giving the satan an opportunity to go ahead and to be mekatrik. There's a fascinating tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, not for today, something that Bezus Hashem will revisit one day. But there's a fascinating tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. It's in Chelek Vav. It's tshuva Samech Dalet. There's a lot of drama in that tshuva. It's the topic was discussing a baby that was born, and the male was having a hard time figuring out exactly how to do the bris milah. They were trying to determine if this baby was a kros shifcha, so this is like a complicated shaila that's really for a male. Either way, this was a male who was from the city of Tselem, and he wrote a letter to the Chasam Sofer talking about this case. And in the letter, he says that, you know, that he had this child, and he wasn't sure what to do. So he went to the Marad Asra of his Keila, whose name was Rabbi Yoyev. He refers to him as Rabbi Yoyev, and Rabbi Yoyev told him what he thought. Either way, a short while later, he said he was in a certain shtat, and he met the great Gadol Rabbi David Deitch. And now, Rabbi David Deitch was a Talmud of the Noida Yehuda. A lot of the tshuvas in Noida Yehuda were written to Rabbi David Deitch. He was also a good friend. He was a chaver of the Chasam Sofer. We've quoted Rav David Deitch several times over the years in Raid Bites. So Hagoyin Agadol, Rav David Deitch, the Mechaber of the Sefer Oyel David. So the David Deitch was there, and he went to him, and he told him about the Shiloh, and he said Rav Yoyev and Rav David Deitch both told him the same psak. Basically, the psak was that this child, because of the condition that it has, quote, Lo Yochol Lichyos Yoser Migimel Chadashim, he won't be able to live more than 3 months. Not only that, Rav David Deitch told him that he had a Mesoira in this particular shayla from his great Rebbe, Hagoyin Agadah Rabbi Cheska Landau, the Baal Noy de Behuda. So either way, in that tshuva, this was very important. That there was a baby that was born, there was a shayla of a Kros Shivcha, it was questionable what to do with the Bris Mila, and Rabbi Yoyov and Rabbi David Deitch, in the name of the Noy de Behuda, all said that this baby can't live more than Gimel Kadashim, can't live more than 3 months. Either way, this Moyel writes to the Chasam Sofer that he followed what he was told by the Gdolim, u'kishahoyah ben tesh shavuos, and he said when this baby was 9 weeks old, meis oisei avlad, that's when this baby died. Either way, that's the story. So the Chasam Sofer writes back, and again, this tshuva is above my pay grade, but in terms of the specifics, it's very much for a moyo. It just goes to show how the Gedolim are writing tshuvas on every single area in Halacha. This is mamish nitty-gritty in the laws of Mila. But either way, writes back the Chasam Sofer like this. Here's the punchline. Hine, Mises Hayeled Mitzelem. The fact that this child from Tzelem, that's where this story happened, died, lo neflace v'lo rechoika. It's not a chiddush to me. Ki hayoroi lamos. This child, unfortunately, was destined to die. Immi pas dibris Talmud Chacham yitidi v'arav agoyin Rabbi Yoyev asher shoftu leben moves. Because you said that you showed it to Rabbi Yoyev. Rabbi Yoyev said this kid can't live more than 3 months. So of course this kid was going to die. V'ave kishkoga hayoytze me'ashalet. It was kishkoga hayoytze me'ashalet. V'loy nofesh tzchuse dahu yanuka. He said, once a tzaddik like this says something like this, what's going to keep this child alive? You know what the child would need? The child would need tremendous chusim. But there's a little baby. What chus is he supposed to have? Which Rajba did this child learn that he's going to have a chus that somehow is going to save him? It's not possible. And he said, not just that, maybe he would need graces chusavis. But he said, look at Mar Shmuel and Bava Moikot and Yud Chesam and Aleph. Where Shmuel, with all his chusim, he wasn't able to overcome Shkoga Yoitzim Ilifnei Ashalit. He said, it's nishkan gelechter. He said, it's a very dangerous thing. And he said, v'im epas dibris harbe b'nei adam shedibru bai. It sounds like everybody was talking. V'nosu v'nosnu bai. He said, this became a whole sugya. He said, you were walking around the whole Europe talking about the shayla. You have a baby that tonight the Yehuda Paskin can't live more than 3 months. It's a chiddush, this child died. Everybody was talking like this child was a ben mavis. How is this child going to make it out alive? This was kishkoga hayoytze melifnei ashala that was happening on a national scale. So who was going to overcome this? He says, v'chazal hizirunu, chazal told us, bris krusel is fasayim. A person has to be careful what comes out of his mouth. This is what the Chasam Sofer told him. Dvarim mafilim. I said, everyone was talking. This was like a whole sugya. Tshuva is being sent all over the place while the kid's alive. And everyone's like assuming for a hanocha in this halachic shayla that this child is eventually going to die. I want to tell you something. There's a fascinating postscript to this tshuva. We didn't talk about the tshuva yet, but there's a fascinating postscript to it. The Chasam Sofer wrote this tshuva to Rav David Deitch. That's who he wrote it to. Many tshuvas and tshuvas Chasam Sofer also to Rav David Deitch. That's who he wrote it to. And at the end of the tshuva, there's a hoysafa that's written by Rav David Deitch, and Rav David Deitch writes that this moyel was a liar. He said, "Lehoyu dvar meyolam." This whole story never happened. Ma'ashehigid amagid v'shmi who cause of the sheker umeyolam lo yamarti davar ze ubikashdi mikvoyt sheyimcha lichtoy ba'osei amagid sheyimcha davar ze miseifa zechroinus. And he said, the reason I was so upset is not even because he said it about me, because he said that I said in the name of my Rebbe, the Noy de Yehuda, and kichalila litlois buki sriki be'ilan agadol meiri v'rabbi Rabbi Cheskel zechitzadik v'kadosh. That David Deitch wrote to the Chasam Sofer, he said, do me a favor. He says, it's not true. This story never happened. But either way, you see, it's interesting. Like you almost feel like the Chasam Sofer picked up on that, because he's writing back very, very sharp, and he felt it wasn't befitting for Gdolim to talk this way. He said, never happened. This whole story was Lehoyu Dvar Meyolam. But either way, that's the concept of Bris Krusa L'Sfasayim, and that's the concept of Al Tiftach Pe L'Satan, which is me. And really, if just to think about it for a second, like, what does this all mean? What do you mean, bris krusel l'sfasayim? What does that mean? So the truth is, the Rajba in a tshuva was asked this question. The Rajba was asked this question. He says, what's this? He was actually asked a similar question. He was asked about the Gemara in Brachas that we had a geshmak of time with when we learned in Perek Haraya, where the Gemara talks about Abaye and Rava, they both had dreams, and there was a person, his name was Bar Hedya, and yeah, he was a Pesach Haloimis, but he was on the take. So really, depending on, you know, what you paid him for his hourly rate, that determined what the outcome was going to be. And Abaye, everything was good, and Rav, everything was bad, right? The whole Maisa, it's a fascinating story. Someone asked the Rajba, he said, this sounds like a Lutzanis. Seriously? This is, right? The Rajba famously dealt with a lot of, modern, pre-Maskilim, and that's why he wrote Svarim and Agadata, because of all the Neitzrim and all these different issues. So the Rajba dealt a lot with Divrei Agadah. So the Rajba writes back to, so the Shoyl was like, he was making Lutzanis a little bit. So the Rajba says, what are you making Lutzanis of? Of Koich Adibor? That's what you're making Lutzanis of? He says, you know what the power of speech is? And he goes on, he gives him a whole Musa Shmuz, that Bilam was hired to be Makalo. And you see, the Koyach of Bris Krusel is Fasayim, he says, and Al Tiftach Pel is Satan, Loshin Hara. Right, the whole Torah is filled with the power of speech. Speech is so powerful, words matter. And the Rajba gives him a whole Musa Shmuz, and he says, what's the Chiddush? He said, this bothers you, seriously, this bothers you. Since Poshet, what this is about, it's the power of speech, that's the Koyach. And the Yerushalayim explain it even more, that where does speech come from? So everyone knows the Targum Unkelis, Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim, L'ruach Memalala, that the Koyach Hadibur is the Neshama, it's a Koyach Elyon, it's a Koyach Ruchni, etc., etc. But the bottom line is we talk a lot about Trachgut Vetzangut. Right? This is Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa Inyan. A person has to be careful to control his thoughts, because Trachgut Vetzangut, the thoughts of a person are very powerful, but Kal V'Choymer, the Dibur of a person, is even more powerful. Allah, it's in a doyma machshava to Dibur. Dibur is way more powerful. Akima Sfasav is a Maisa, right? It's much more powerful. So, Trachgut Vetzangut, but also a person has to be careful with what comes out of his mouth. But just to end this shmooze, with one epic Sheba, epic Sheba, epic Chsam Sofer. And that Chsam Sofer will go through. And that's in the Teres Moshe. It's in at least two places, and probably more, but it's in at least two places. It's in Teres Moshe and Parshas Vayera, and it's in Teres Moshe and Parshas Chayesara as well. So the Gemara said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's not long. Minayin Shebris Krusel Lisvasayim. How do you know that a person can literally determine his fate or even somebody else's fate with Akimas Fasa, with what comes out of his mouth? Said Rabbi Yochanan, how do I know that? I know it from Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu came together with Yitzchak and with Eliezer ben Avram and with Yishmael, and they come to a certain point, and Avram turns to Yishmael and Eliezer and he says, Shvu lechem poyim achamar, amadoyim lechamar, right, I want you to stay here. V'ani v'anar nelcha, we're going to go up into the mountain. V'nishtach, we're going to bow down. V'noshuv aleichem, and we're going to come down to you. Now that's L'chura, what wasn't supposed to happen? It was supposed to be an Akedah. This was the 10th Nisayan. This was supposed to be an Akedah. And Afal Pekin, they did come back. So Rabbi Yechon said, you know why? Because Bris Krutzel is Fasayim. Because it came out of the Pet Kaddish of Avram Avinu. And that's how you know this idea of Bris Krutzel is Fasayim. So the Chsam Sofer in Teres Moshe, it's the same shtickle in Parshas Vayera and in Parshas Chayesara. He said that he heard a kasha. And the rest of the story is this kasha is the Zeres Shimshon's kasha. The Halakha of Zeres Shimshon. So the Zeres Shimshon asks a kasha based on a Gemara that we learned together not very long ago. In Masechtas Tainis Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there brings a pasuk in Sefer Melachim Beis, where the pasuk says Hashem was talking about there were three people that committed great acts of Mesiras Nefesh. And Hashem said one of them was Leitzi Visi. I never commanded him to do it. The other one was Velei Dibarti. I never asked him to do it. And the third one was V'layosa Alibi. I never had a Havamina. Ben Benoy Shel Havamina. That he should ever do it. And the Gemara says, who was the Leitzi Visi, Yiftach, and Eliezer ben Avram? Who was the V'layol Salibi? It's referring to Yitzchak ben Avram. Zok the Gemara. That V'layol Salibi, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, Kachnos binchos yechidcha asher hafta v'aleu lo'ilo. But really, it was V'layol Salibi. Hashem said, I never had a Havamina for it to play out. I never wanted him to really do this. That was never my intention. It was V'layol Salibi. I was never the intention. So Freik, the Zeres Shimshon. So he says, I don't understand. So it comes out, it was never also Alibi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be an Akeid. Now, Avram didn't know that, but the reality is Avram was never going to Shecht Yitzchak, which means that Avram and Yitzchak were always going to come back. That's the way it was going to play out. That's the way it was meant to play out. It was V'lay Al Salibi. It's not like Hashem last second changed his mind. No, this is the way it was supposed to be. L'katchila. At the time of the Tzivu, it was V'lay Al Salibi. It's a Gemara. Tainas Daftal and Medal. So, Vazak Rabbi Yochim in Nain Shabris Krusel is Fasayim. Because Vistayim Mil Sudahad Travayo. Kilu. Wow. with a great stroke of luck. Istaya Milsa, incredible siyata d'shmaya. Avram and Yitzchak came back. No, they were always supposed to come back. That's the way it was supposed to be, l'katchila. Because it was v'layol salibis, it's a gevaldige kasha. V'azok the gemara v'istaya Milsa. This was the Zera Shimshon's kasha. This is the kasha that the Chassam Sofer quotes. He said, I heard this gevaldige kasha, that what's the raya that bris krusel is fasayim, if it was layol salibi, this is the way that it was always supposed to be. So the Chassam Sofer says a dover nifla. Based on the Yisoid, that the Chassam Sofer says in many different places in his Svarim, it's so much part and parcel of the legacy of the Chassam Sofer. We say this all the time. That number one, it's in the Petuchei Chayisim, which was Rav Shimon Sofer's akdama to the first publication ever of the Chassam Sofer, where he wrote all the Yisoidis that were Margul Bapume, the Marana Chassam Sofer. So this is something that's mentioned in the Petuchei Chayisim, and like all the great Yisoidis of the Chassam Sofer, it's something that you find in all the Ksav Sofer Svarim and all the Inakl Svarim. This was something that was Margul Bapume, the Maran. And the Chassam Sofer's Yisoid was as follows. He said that the pasuk says in Parshas Kisavoy, "V'hisircha Hashem l'toiva b'fri vitnecha," that sometimes Hashem, this is a bracha, will leave a person alive, and the reasoning is b'fri vitnecha, because of his offspring. So says the Chassam Sofer, a person can reach such incredible madrigas in his avodas Hashem that he can have such a spiritual high that he could be to the point where his neshama will literally explode from his body. He says he got so high that it's impossible for his guf, which is bas of Adam, which is soifai rima v'toileya, should be able to contain all that excitement and all that kedusha. It's just not possible. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's why you find this idea in Chazal of Parcha Nishmasan. Right, the Yidden by Maimon Har Sinai. It was Parcha Nishmasan. What happened? What was the Parcha Nishmasan? It was too much. It was too heavy. They couldn't handle it. They weren't physically able to handle it. It was poshit. It was too much of a high. The Yidden, all of a sudden, Ata Reisel Adas Ki Hashem Hu Alekim Einoid Mulvaday. Like, how are you supposed to contain all this? At the end of the day, the human body is not conditioned to be able to keep this all in check and to have the checks and balances. It's not possible. And that's why it was Parcha Nishmasan. The neshama poshit platzed. It exploded. It left the person's body. So the Chassam Sofer says that tzaddikim, there were many times during the course of their life where they would reach a madrega, where they get to the point where their guf can no longer control the neshama. So what happens? What happens is, sometimes the neshama leaves the body, and sometimes Hashem, me'ezah siba, figures out a way to leave it there. He says, the pasuk says, Vatoshas, Vatoshas alai kapecha. Vatoshas alai kapecha literally means Hashem says, I took my palm and I put it on you. What is Hashem palming you? What's he doing? What he's doing is he's fighting the gravity. What he's doing is he's keeping your neshama in place, because the neshama is about to explode. It can't stay in, and he's doing everything he can do to contain it. So the Chassam Sofer says, the primary reason that Hashem keeps tzaddikim alive, tzaddikim that really be'etzem should have left this world because it should have been parcha nishmasan, because of the hasagas of kedusha they were zoicha to achieve, is because of the fact that they have children and they have talmidim and they have a dar that they need to And that's the pasuk. V'hisircha Hashem l'toiva b'fri v'itnecha. That sometimes Hashem is going to keep a person l'toiva, and the reason he does is b'fri v'itnecha. One of the places the Chassam Sofer says this by Richos is when he talks about Mises Nadav and Avihu. And we know Chazal have different reasons why Nadav and Avihu died. And one of the reasons that are given is it's a pasuk. The pasuk says that why Nadav and Avihu died, Vayomas Nadav and Avihu l'fnei Hashem, Ba'kriva meish zor l'fnei Hashem b'midbar Sinai, Ubanim lo yhoyu lahem. And Chazal says because they didn't have any children, that's why they died. But it's really very shver because there's so many other reasons that are given. So said the Chassam Sofer, that you want to know the real reason for Mises Nadav and Avihu, it's a pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Achri Moshe b'nei Aharon, Bikor Vosom l'fnei Hashem. The reason they died was because on that day, Yom HaKamas HaMishkan, Nadav and Avihu reached a madregas ruchni that was so high that it was karvasam lefnei Hashem. The kurva, the dveikas that Kadosh Baruch Hu was so incredible that their neshama just exploded. and it went all the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Narvas, ordinarily, there's something called Vaysircha Hashem L'toiva, Befri Vitnecha. But what happened was because Ubanim Loi Hayu Lahem, they didn't have children, and they didn't even have Talmidim, that Kolam Alamed Ben Chaver Retayr Ma'al Olav HaKosav Kilu Yaldai, so it was Hadar Dina, that there was nothing to keep their Neshama from exploding. And that's why it was Parcha Neshmasam. So the real reason for Mises Nadav and Aviyu is Bekarvasam Lefnei Hashem Vayamusu. But had they had children, had it been Ubanim Hayu Lahem, they would have been Zaycha to the Brach and Parashas. But because Ubanim Loi Hayu Lahem, it's for that reason they didn't have it. The Chasam Sofer says that's the soid, that's the pnimius of Misas Neshika. When a tzaddik dies, he dies Misas Neshika. That's why tzaddikim are not metama. Tosfos in Ksubas Kof Gimel Amud Beis Miyom Shem Eis Rebbe Batal Kedusha. What does it mean Batal Kedusha? Reb Chaim HaKoyin said there was no Kedushas Guna because all the Kehanim were allowed to be Metama. And Reb Chaim HaKoyin said even though I'm a Kohen, I would have been Metama to Rabbeinu Tam if I was in his presence. Why? Because Kivri Tzadikim are not Metama. Why? Because a Tzadik doesn't die through the ordinary courses of death. How do people usually die? The angel of death, the Malach HaMavis, that's what he does. But Tzadikim die Misas Neshika. So what's Misas Neshika? So Pasha Neshika means a kiss. The Ebeshe gives a person a kiss. But the Chasam Sofer says there's a concept in Hilchas Mikvayis, it's called Hashaka. And that is, there's certain things that if they're Tomei, it makes contact with a kval of vaser, it makes contact with a kosher body of water, the hashaka in of itself is matirah. And he said, that's what Mises Neshik is. Parcha Neshmasam to the point where it makes contact and boom. And then it's over. But this is the aside. The aside is that there are tzaddikim that they reach such spiritual highs, they come to such a madrega, where it's impossible for the tzaddik's neshama to be able to be contained inside his guf. And Hashem needs to be vatoshes alai kapeka. It has to come with tremendous force and resistance to be able to fight the misas neshika. Because really, b'derech hatever, it's impossible for the guf, the lowly body, to be able to contain this hoicha hoicha neshama. So says the Chasam Sofer, that when the Eibusha told Avram Avinu, kachnos binchos yichitcha asher hafta v'aleu le'oivo. The Gemara says in Tainas Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, was like osa libi, there was never a havamina that Avram Avinu should check Yitzchak. Like the Zeresh said, there was never such a Havamina. However, you know what happened? Avram Avinu comes to the Akeda, and this is the 10th Nisoyan. And Avram Avinu was being tested again and again and again. V'lakim nisas Avram. And he wasn't just being tested for himself, he was being tested for generations. Maisa of a similar banim. And Avram Avinu was passing every single test. And his ruchnias, his nesham is steiging and it's growing. You can imagine what's going on with every seed jumps into a kifshin ha'esh. He never questions everything he does perfectly. And now he's standing at Har Sinai and he's about to shecht his one son. The son that Hashem promised him, Ki bi Yitzchak Yikar L'chazer, and he's holding the knife and he literally, Vayikach Hasam Acheles B'yadoy, and he says, and he's about to shecht it. He says, could you imagine the spiritual high that Avram Avinu was on? You can't fathom, it's not possible. And can you imagine Yitzchak, who's about to give himself up and he does it, he named me, I have no problem, do it. No problem. You can imagine the madrega that Yitzchak is on. At that moment, said the Chasam Sofer, it was impossible b'derech hateva for Avram and Yitzchak to make it out alive. It's impossible. In fact, there's a chazal that says Yitzchak died, parcha neshmasa. It was impossible. How are they going to stay alive? How could a person reach such a ruchni as the madrega and stay alive? Really, said the Chasam Sofer, they should have died. You know why they didn't die? Because bris krusalis fasayim. Because Avram Avinu said, v'neshtache v'neshuva aleichem. And the koyach adibur, what comes out of a person's mouth is so nuclear, it's so powerful, that because he said, I'm going to come back, that's why they came back. But Be'etzim, they wouldn't have came back. Vayisircha Hashem l'toivah b'fri vidnecha wouldn't have worked. Nothing was going to work. It was too much. This is the greatest Nisayan ever. It's impossible. All the Mesiris Nefesh of every year throughout the history of Klal Yisrael was wrapped up into this microcosm of Mesiris Nefesh that was the Akedah. And both from the standpoint of Avram giving up his son and from the standpoint of Yitzchak of giving his own life up. It was too much. It would have been impossible. The Chiddush they came back was not that the Eibishter said, Kachnos binchos yechidch v'aleu lo'ilo, and they came back. There's Ereshimshin's Girech, said the Chasam Sofer. It was like, Otsa Libi. That was never the Chiddush. That's not Rabbi Yochanan's Raya, the priest's crucialist for Zion. You know what Rabbi Yochanan's Raya was? His Raya was that how could Avram Avinu walk off the Haram Meiri? He just comes down. Yitzchak is an Oyla Tamima. He can't leave Eretz Yisrael anymore. Right? Chazal talk about how Yitzchak changed after the Zohar. How could you not? But really, that change should have been so profound that it should have been Parcha Neshmasan. And really, they should have not been able to come back. Not because of the actual Akedah, but because of the spiritual high. They should have had the greatest Mises Neshika ever. That's what was supposed to be. That was what was supposed to happen. It was Karvasam Lefnei Hashem Vayomusu. And the only reason it didn't happen was because of Bris Krusulis Fasayim. What a Helig Chsam Sofer. I mean, you feel the Chsam Sofer's passion, mamish, in the words. Reading it, it jumps off the page. If the Chassam Sofer is the herring gestickle, what the Chassam Sofer was writing. But either way, this is what he says. That was the raya to Bris Krusulis Fasayim. The raya was not the Akedah. The raya was the fact that someone could experience such a spiritual high and live to tell the story. That was the Chiddush.